But this week we're talking about community, the community of Christians. I've subtitled it The Real Community. A real community. What is a real community? What does that mean? I suppose we like we've said all the way along, real community can be seen in different ways. I was fortunate enough to go to a little village in Devon, as I think I said last week, called Limpston, and the influence that little village had on my life has lasted me all the way through my life, in a sense. 2 weeks a year to the village where my father was brought up. I loved going on holiday there, because the adventures were great, and we could go in the river and with my cousins and all sorts of things, and sometimes we'd be there for the ferry dance. You know, da, 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 do you know that? Yeah. And we'd be dancing up and down the village and walking through all people's houses and all sorts of things, and it was a community, a weird community at times. But then I think probably Beaujolais has its weird times as well. So we're naturally able to work that out, in a sense that we have to learn what community is. It isn't something that's necessarily natural, because we are people who close ourselves into our families at times and then close ourselves into our work community, and we have to learn different ways in different communities. And the Bible is full of words of advice if only we're willing to take it in and respond to it. For example, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, and I'll say that again, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. It says there, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In case you didn't get that, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. So it's clear from that we need to work with the power of God to bring about this sort of closeness and trust. I sort of sometimes think, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're clinging on for your life. Literally clinging on for your life. I know I've been on bits of cliff at times with my cousins, and I'm hanging on to the root of a tree. We used to call them monkey climbs in Limpston. It was a strange place. But, you know, sometimes you're hanging on for dear life, and you have to trust someone else to pull you back up. I wonder, who would you trust if you were hanging on for dear life to pull you out of that difficult situation?
Not William.
I'm sure
if
he
came
to life and death, we could trust him. Yeah. Well,
I think it's quite actually revealing, because I mean that I had to go to the hospital on Friday, was it?
Thursday,
because I just had some glittering, thitsy things in my eyes, so I had to go have a special check. And I thought, who can I ring? Who can I trust to take me? And so my son, we rang him, and he said, yes, that's fine, Dad, I'll leave work now. Which is great, because it's his business, so he can walk away from it. But it's nice to know you've got someone who you can trust to do those sort of things. We all know, however, that there are those who grow up not knowing what it means to have a close family relationship, because community is family. And some people need to learn more than others. Some people would have abusive parents or cruel brothers and sisters. Paul wrote to Timothy, saying in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. So Paul was ready to tell Timothy all about that sort of thing. He was saying, look, there's much more to look at in this, and you need to be ready for learning. Some tough thinking and actions will be needed if fellowship is to develop. Okay, so I'm now just going to say that the things that we need in it needs to be worked at, not walked away from. Okay, worked at, not walked away from. It's easy to walk away from things. If things get tough, the tough get going, don't they? Or sometimes when things get tough, people walk away because they don't want the hassle. And we need to be people who don't walk away from things, but work at it for the sake of getting the right things done. Okay. So what does it take for a community to be a real community? Honesty is one thing that we need. and that's coming up there now. For one thing, we will have to develop honesty that can be given and taken. It's easy, isn't it? We can point at people and say, oh, that's not right, you shouldn't have done that. But actually, it's a bit more uncomfortable when people point the finger at us. I've given this illustration years and years and years over the years, but if you point at someone, try not to point at anyone right now, there are three fingers often pointing back at you. And if your thumb's up in the air, that's possibly you're pointing at God as well. There is a sense in which we need to realise that we need to receive, if we're willing to give honestly, we need to be ready to receive honestly. My mother was one who taught that we needed to learn to receive as much as to give. And that was in the context of if you're receiving a present from someone, you should receive it even if you don't like it, but with grace. You know, have you seen these children on TV when they've been given a Christmas present? They're really excited when they see this parcel and they open it up and say, that's not what I wanted. And my mum said, you must give a blessing to the person who's given you that present by receiving it correctly. And she was a wise woman in that way. We need to learn to receive as much as give. And the context of what we're looking at today, then receiving in the right way is very important. When we see someone in a danger zone, if you know what I mean, someone who is maybe in danger of sinning in a way that is going to lead them into an awful life or an awful mistake in life, we need to learn to be able to steer people away with honesty, okay? Because it's easy to have the quiet life and not say anything, isn't it? Or not do anything. If your child ran into the road, you would run out after it and push it out the way of a car if there was a car coming, wouldn't you? And you'd take the blow yourself for the sake of saving your child. In the same way, we are saving people from other things if they are in danger of sinning from mistakes that they've made. This will require courage and wisdom, but we may save them from eternal disaster. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. One of the fearful things that happened to me over the years is someone's come up to me and said, brother, I need to tell you something, but it's in love. And you know very well they're going to tell you something awful that you've just done. I think actually if they just came alongside you and said, do you think that was right? Let me help you think through this. It might be a gentler way of doing it. I know that there were two gentlemen at a meeting I was at a conference one year, one of our conferences, and they were particularly harsh on a lady there. And I went up to them afterwards and I said, I don't think you did the right thing there. I thought you were very cruel to that lady. And I left it at that. But I felt it was important to say it because I knew the lady and I knew what she intended to say was right. But I knew they were of a different opinion. But I said it to them even though I didn't feel very comfortable. Do you get a chance to look at Proverbs ever? Yeah. Have a look, because it can make you laugh. Yeah. I think Proverbs is one of those books of the Bible that can make you laugh without really trying, because they say such wonderful things, and yet there's an element of truth in everything there and helpfulness. And in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26, it says this, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Okay, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You may cause upset, but part of being community is that we say things and lovingly say them, gently say them. There's another verse a little later on which talks about how we should be with older people as well, and younger people. But we need to be ready to carry each other's burdens. It may cause upset to those who want only the easy life, but there are bound to be times when feathers are ruffled, but the truth is a good path to tread. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says this, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. So if you're talking about your neighbour, literally, you go next door and say, that's too loud. But I quite like the music, you know. you can gentle it a bit, you know, make it softer, can't you? Yeah. It's true that people appreciate frankness, don't they? If I've done something I shouldn't have done or said something I shouldn't have said, then actually it's helpful if people tell you. That's what wives are for, generally. That's right, Tom, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She'll speak to you later.
We all will.
But actually, vice versa as well. Some of the men will be able to tell their wives, yeah, you got it wrong this time, Gail. What do you mean? But it's true that people appreciate frankness rather than flattery. It's a more dependable thing. The fall comes from believing the flattery as opposed to accepting the truth. And it's great if we accept the truth. And I know you've probably said things to people in the past and they've not reacted very well to what you said. But if you're sure that it's been the truth, then it's helpful. We're not talking about being rude. We are talking about honesty. That may hurt, yet is for good. And Paul gives a good example. This is the piece I was talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 and 2. It says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. That's good, isn't it? If we all treated each other in that way, that would be really helpful. We are sometimes the product of turning away and hoping that the problem will go away, as I've said already. But Scripture advises us to face up to the problems, and Paul encourages the people at Corinth in chapter 5 to deal with a problem. There was a man there, obviously, who was sexually immoral, and there was all sorts of things going on that Paul talks about, and he says, sort it out. Get it dealt with now. Otherwise, it will just become a big thorn in your side. So honesty is a real important thing. But along with that, and I think this is a good thing for us to really think about, along with that honesty, the community needs humility. Not the sort of humility of your humble servant sort of thing. Do you know when, what was that in? Scrooge, where I'm your humble servant. Your eye heap. Do you know, we had, when my father died, we had an undertaker who came to deal with the situation, and he kept on saying things, in my humble opinion, he says, may I suggest you do this? And it really sort of, well, we didn't laugh. But we did sort of think that it wasn't quite the way you said things nowadays. Bless him. He was very helpful and very helpful to us, but it did remind us of Uriah Heep. But humility, real humility. Some people will seem smug when dealing with the problems of anything or anyone. Have you had people do this to you? Look over the top of their glasses at you? Or look down their nose at you? You know? That sort of attitude won't help at all. In excuse me, in 1 Peter 5 and 5, it says this, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We may be helped in this if we are willing to admit to our own mistakes, okay? And to receive correction with grace ourselves, okay? Sometimes there are people who are never wrong, aren't they? Or there are those who will say, it wasn't me. My mother-in-law used to say that quite regularly. It wasn't me, it wasn't my fault. I think it's the way she grew up, actually, but there you go. But it's receiving correction. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. My daughter bought a little mouth organ for me for Christmas. It was a key ring, so it was only that so long, about 2 inches long. And of course, you get out a packet, don't you? And you got to play it. And I thought I was playing a tune. Nobody else thought I was playing a tune. There was no harmony in this harmonica. And
it was a lot of harm.
It was harm to people's ears, it was. But harmony is beautiful, isn't it? When it happens, if you're in choirs, you will know the wonder of being part of something that makes harmony. If you're in a group playing instruments, you'll be glad to know when the notes are all in harmony. If you're in a band, a brass band or an orchestra, the sound is wonderful, isn't it? I remember sitting, I think it's the Queen's Hall in Sheffield, and they were singing the Messiah, and they had an orchestra there. And I'd never been to anything quite like it in my life. And I was just mesmerised by the harmony and being almost sat in amongst the orchestra. And it was fantastic. I loved it. Even though I'm a bit of a rocker at heart, the Messiah was beautiful to me that night because of the harmony. And when harmony is experienced, it's beautiful. And humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Okay. Would you like me to say that again? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility, therefore, is thinking more of others. So that's an important part of community, especially within the fellowship of the church. The next thing is courtesy in action. I don't know about you, but I've been, there's a certain road in Rushton where there's always a queue of traffic waiting to go one way or the other, Washbrook Road. And if you're sat at one end and all these cars are coming the other way, I think the least thing to do is to be courteous to the person who stopped and wave your hand. You know, and I don't mind waving back. I love it if people are courteous. But if they don't, and you're sat there, nobody waves to you and says thank you, that's a sad thing, isn't it? But being courteous doesn't cost very much. I know that Sue and I sometimes sit there, well, that was a waste of time. Nobody thanked us for doing that. It can be an attitude of our mind that maybe isn't right, but actually courteousness doesn't cost anything generally. In fact, in Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, Paul says this: remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and show true humility towards all men. In every church, there is a difficult person.
Just one.
Well, there may well be one or two. Every church I've been to, there's been one person that is more difficult than others. I have found in conversation with those people who are difficult and going through hard times that their desire generally is for the good of the fellowship, but sometimes they can't express it in any other way than being hard and not unhelpful in the way they say things. Sometimes more, as I said already, there may be more than one, but if treated in the way we have discussed today, they too can feel valued, a valued member of the fellowship. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, girls, don't think that puts you out. It doesn't mean that you're not to love one another as well. It just means that in this situation, he's talking about mankind in that brotherly thing. And it says, in brotherly love, honour one another above yourselves. That's not easy, but it's also helpful. Okay, we're coming near to the end. Just to say that confidentiality is another mark of community. Confidentiality. Knowing that what you say is safe and likely to be prayed about. In Proverbs, this is another one of those lovely ones, Proverbs 16 and verse 28, it says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and the gossip separates close friends. There may be trouble ahead if we get into that sort of situation. But regular fellowship is one certain way to secure community. One of the nice things for us about being part of the community here, in the fellowship here, is that we're able to embrace one another, smile at one another, laugh at one another, and maybe cry with one another. But regular contact is a way in which brings us closer, a closer relationship with God and with each other. So in Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says this: "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If you get the opportunity to read any of the books that talk about revival in, say, the Outer Hebrides or in Cornwall or in Wales, you will note that the churches were full pretty well 24/7. Someone was there. When I was reading about the Cornish revival, we read that the miners went off to work in the morning, did their hours at the mine, which was hard slog in those days. They come home, have a bit of a wash and go to church, and then be there all night. I guess there was some sleeping during the prayers, but they were there all night. In the morning they go home and have breakfast and go to work. Because they wanted to be with other people who were following God and loving that sort of service. The first Christians met together every day. Acts 2, 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So the investment in this is time. Time given shows commitment to community. And I would say this, how much time are we willing to give for the Christian community? Because that time started a long time ago, but starts again now. How much time am I willing to invest? Okay. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you. Thank you for directing our thoughts today. In Jesus' name, amen.